There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. 343-0106. That's the Mallory Piping text line. Love your text on there, plus phone calls on the same number, 343-0106. Plus, you can use the TalkBack feature on the FM Talk 106.5 app. See that microphone icon on the bottom there, you just press that, lets you record a message, records it, and emails it to the station. All right, I want to read a couple of these things here as we bring on our guest this hour. And my friend, Congressman Jerry Carl, good to see you.
Good to be here.
You and I are having this conversation about the person who sent me the Marjorie Taylor Greene makes this big insider play. Was it any secret that there were tariffs coming?
Heavens no.
Okay, therefore...
His entire campaign was built around that, so...
Right, so we all knew that was coming, and then she or her on her broker's decision, or hers, I don't know, moved into out of the equities and into T-bills. That's not inside, and I'm not... Lord knows I've never made a habit of defending MTG, but in this case, she did nothing wrong. That's just normal. Hey, equities are going to get hurt when this happens. Let me go to T-bills.
Listen, 4 years in Congress, I never saw anything I could make money on. After the fact, I could have.
Yeah.
But I would have been same shape you're in. There's no inside information. Unless they're going to repaint all the battleships a certain color and there's not but one company that makes that paint, then you're going to buy that stock ahead of time. That's insider information. But the stuff up in Washington that I dealt with, and I was in some pretty strategic stuff in appropriations, I never saw how it could be fixed to be beneficial to me.
Okay, well, people...
Not that I would have done it, because all my stuff is... I was set up so I couldn't do it.
Right, but I want to ask this then, because people will be thinking right now, okay, then how do people enter Congress and who stay there a long time and become very, very wealthy off, what is it, $174,000
a year?
Yeah.
I don't know of anybody that did that. Most of the people going in Congress are millionaires. You can't afford to go into Congress any other way. You get $174,000 a year. Granted, that's a lot of money, but after taxes, and then you've got two households that
it is in today's economy. $174,000 a year does not make...
Everywhere you go, you're paying an Uber out of your pocket.
Yeah.
Every time you do stuff, it's out of your pocket.
How do they grow? I agree with you. $174,000, having to keep a residence in Washington, a residence here, and what it costs to live and all those things. It's not going to make you a millionaire, but so many become millionaires.
Well, some were millionaires when they came
in. Sure,
that's what I'm saying.
Many were.
Obviously, there's some that did not. I can think of at least two that come to mind real quick that are not, and they struggle. I mean, when I say they struggle, they sit on the floor and talk about not worrying about paying a car note or a house note and living in a very small apartment. So,
but there are others that...
Oh, there's some in there that's just dripping rich.
Yeah. And it's when people wondering, like, how that happens, how they go in and then, you know, okay, $174,000 times, let's say you get three terms of 6 years, how did that become, you know?
But you look at so many of them, there's at least six car dealerships, dealers that are in Congress, own huge car dealerships. I mean, you start going through the ex-bankers, ex-stockbrokers. I mean, you start going ex-attorneys. You start looking at these professions, and they're in their 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
They had money when they came in. Now, the fact they make money now, I mean, that do you want somebody that's can't make money.
No, I want them to
handle your money.
Listen, I'm a capitalist. I want people to show me that they're good at our system. I also don't want them getting an advantage they wouldn't have if they weren't elected to a position.
Well, I totally agree with that. And again, I set myself up with bonds, so I could never be questioned.
Right.
And so I'm out of the market. They don't have to worry about me. Things have changed a little bit in the last 6 months, obviously, but I certainly don't have any inside. But anyway.
What is it, like Firedog on the text line said, I shorted a few stocks myself, OMG, insider trading. Trump called me last week to personally inform me this was happening. It was a secret. You know, that's the joke. I mean, if you moved to T-bills, that's just logical.
Yep.
If you looked at companies that would hit hard by tariffs and you did what Firedog did and short them, that's not insider.
Right.
I mean, that's just going plus B equals C.
And I told you this story. We got a congressman up there, or had one up there. His name was Duncan, and he made like 260% on a stock that he purchased.
Y'all gonna remember this story. So set this up, because when you said it, I had forgotten about this.
Yeah, so they were just hammering him about making 260% on this one stock trade he made. What they didn't tell you is he bought $200 worth of the stock. So, yeah, you know, if he had bought $200,000 worth of stock or even $2,000 worth of stock, it would be questionable. But it was just basically a penny stock that he bought.
I've made some of those that the one. It's funny, on penny stocks investments, I will walk around here and peacock about some I bought.
Oh, yeah.
Like this XGO Energy I bought way in the back of the day. I still go back to that's my dinner table talk. I'll tell you what, I bought XGO. I don't tell anybody about the 500 of them penny stocks that went to half penny stocks. Oh, yeah. So let's talk about this. Is markets reacting, world's reacting to Trump doing what he said he was going to do? Your reaction?
My reaction is, let's be Americans. Let's simplify it. What do we want? Do we want a fair playing field? Do we want to our children to inherit this debt that we have? Do we want a better future for our kids economically as far as world trade? If the answer is yes to all three of those, only thing I say is, you know, we've got to ride it out. Now, everybody's focused on China. Let me tell you, China, 60% of their market is based on the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So what Trump is doing is playing a heck of a poker hand here. I was in New York a week and a half ago. I was down dealing with the maritime companies. I was down on the docks, and they were unloading a ship there. And they told me that ship, they'd saved that Chinese company $44 million by getting it squeezed in, because they knew the tariffs were coming. One ship. So you're talking about that much
on one load on one ship.
So you're talking about that much at risk. The Chinese right now, their response to Trump right now is, we're going to outbluff him. So they're bluffing back. The Chinese cannot do without us. Folks, we learned to do without a lot of stuff during COVID. COVID mm-hmm. taught us that. We learned to use not brand names, but brand X or whatever we could get our names on, which we did as children,
mm-hmm.
which today, it's name brand or not at all. We feel that way. But we learned. Don't come to my house.
Yeah.
It's all name brand. But we learned during COVID, and that's the Chinese should be very fearful. I don't want war with China. Nobody wants war. But if they're going to do business with us, let's play it on an equal field here. It's going to be uncomfortable. Now, the stock market are a bunch of people that make money buying and selling stock. That's where they make their money.
Mm-hmm.
You have to buy it or you have to sell it. So all they have to sell is fear. Right now, it's fear, fear, fear. Sell, sell, sell. So you see people bailing out. I've got my life savings in some form of market right now. I'm not even going to look at it for 2 months
mm-hmm.
because when China finally figures out that they've got what's the population in China now? Whatever the number is. They're feeding the Chinese government is feeding every one of them. So when they figure out they've got to feed these folks and 60% of their market's been cut off, they will wise up. Now, that's just common sense. And they will come to the table, but they're going to make it just as miserable on Trump as they possibly can, because they want to go back to the old system. And the old system is they dictated what the tariffs were. All the tariffs were one-sided. You know, look at Canada. I mean, Canada got 300% tariff on dairy products. Give me a break.
Yeah, yeah. People will talk about also this conversation over the last couple of weeks, because I try to listen to all sides. I've said before, right. I came from the Milton Friedman School of Economics. In my 20s, I truly thought he hung the moon, maybe even in my 30s and 40s. And I still don't dislike the theory, but I look at the reality of the hollowing out of the U.S. middle class and those things. But we talk about the, okay, China, 1.4 billion people. United States, what are we, 380-something million. If you look at per capita, right, and people say, they'll throw that out, per capita imbalance, it puts it more in ratio, right, because you got a bigger player here and a smaller population-wise with us. Or if you look at United States and Spain or somewhere like that, that has like that we bring out these raw numbers, but they're not, you know, relating to how many people in that country, how many people here. You know, so it, maybe it's closer to not even, but not as out of whack if you look at per capita. I'm just offering the arguments people on the other side have said.
Well, I mean, but you know, look at Mexico. I mean, Mexico has become the trading ground for Chinese. They're bringing stuff through Canada.
And that just made sense, too. When that happened, and Trump saw it, where it seems like many of our government didn't, you pass a deal, you know, where you go back to NAFTA or the reset during Trump's first term, and China goes, okay, we'll be tariffed. Well, what if we just go to Mexico, and then we can come across the border there?
Bring it through Mexico, and it's free.
But that's just... I can't blame Chinese for doing that. That's just logical.
That's just business. I mean, but we've got to stay that one step ahead. So, you know, it goes on and on and on. And China is not our friend. Don't get comfortable.
Correct.
Don't think that all this news information that's being spun up and all these doom and gloom that's coming out is reality. It's their push and their press. Remember what they did during COVID. They were able to suppress stuff during COVID that we would never dream of.
Right.
I mean, Panama Canal. I was down in the Panama second year I was in office, and we saw all the Chinese stuff being built up. Myself and Tommy Tuberville went down there together, and we looked at that, and we started talking about it, started talking about it on the floor. He started talking about it in the Senate, the chamber. I mean, we started talking that up, trying to get people to pay attention to it, listen to it, because we knew China is not our friend.
Right. But what happens here when you look at for example, let's think China, let's talk about here at home. Story out last week as the Port of Mobile or Alabama's port, whatever the moniker. It'll always be Port of Mobile to me.
Yeah.
We've talked about, hey, please don't tariff just the ships coming in. If you use a Chinese-built ship, because Trump's trying to bring back U.S. you know, ship manufacturing, it's going to be this charge on just the ship to come in. But then in looking at it, what was it, 90% of the world's ships were built in China? It takes a long time, Congressman, you know that, to build a ship. So how do you fix that problem?
So that was one of the main reasons I was in New York and in New Jersey at the port and the harbor meeting with the folks there as a civilian trying to figure this out. We've got to build we've got about 45 U.S. flagships. Those are different sizes. Those may be small tugboats. Mm-hmm. Those may be large boats. We've got to focus on American flagships and American-built ships. Chinese are turning out about one a day.
I mean, that's something.
85% of the ships on open water are Chinese. I would say close to 95% of all containers coming to and from that are moving, as well as our military equipment. Our military equipment, think about that for a second, are Chinese vessels.
They're not Chinese flagged. They're Chinese built.
Right.
They're flagged for wherever, Liberia or wherever.
We can't ship on a flagship. But you know, we've got to figure out a way. And I've been talking to a couple of people. We got to figure out a way of tooling up and building these ships for ourselves. We don't need 40. We need about 450. Is the targeted number.
Okay. So realistically, that's what I'm getting. How long does that take?
You've only got three ports in America that can actually make them. Okay. That big. There's only three. One being East Coast, one being West Coast, and possibly, obviously, Ingalls could build one also. But
they're not producing one a day like China.
No. If we think out of the box and figure out how to build those things on dry ground, we could literally roll them out like an assembly line is what I envision. If we can figure out how to do that, put smart minds together, that we can do it. We're Americans. We can do a lot of things. We're building one per day. We had a turnout of one per day in World War II.
Yeah, but you had a whole nation. But my idea would be, okay, if we're going to bring that in, let's be building our ships incrementally as we're phasing out the Chinese. All of a sudden seems pretty dramatic to me.
And for the listeners, you're talking about a 700-foot vessel. You're not talking about a 18-foot ski boat.
Right.
So, you know, it
huge investment.
Huge. I mean, and the federal government's got to get involved. We got
nationalize this, you would think?
No, I don't. I don't want.
Okay, so what's their involvement then?
Well, you can help set up, prop up shipyards. For example, also shipyard. Bradley Burns, when he was in office, moved enough money around and actually got the steel portion through appropriations, got the steel portion of also to go steel. It wasn't all of it. It was a piece of it. I don't remember if it was 30 or 40%, but he got a lot of money targeted for that because we in the defense industry, we can't afford to lose any more shipyards.
Well, yeah, and defense industry, I completely understand. But my issue is we're looking at, well, I'll tell you what, we'll go to the break, come back, because I want to talk about this when we have a little more time. You just said 85% of those ships out there right now are built in China. They could be flying to elsewhere. We're putting a fee on a Chinese-built ship, no matter what flag it is, coming into the port.
Correct. That's the plan.
Do we have enough? I mean, how long is it going to take till there's an option not to use a Chinese ship? We're coming right back.
Got an answer for that.
All right, coming right back with Congressman Carl.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 124 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Check in with my buddy Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Let's talk tractors right now and compact tractors. What you got on the lot?
Well, we got a little bit of everything in the compact, subcompact, utility, and the large ag tractors right now here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. All qualify for zero interest financing. Our compacts, we're running a deal on them right now. The 2502 tractors, get them about as low as about $385 a month, and that includes the tractor, the front end loader, a 5-foot bush hog, and we're gonna throw in the 5-foot tiller for free on that deal. So
love it.
You know, not only zero interest financing, but get a free tiller to go with it right here at the start of planting season.
But that gets your attention. Yeah, you and I talked about that. I think when I was over at your shop, I'd be up, run a disc my whole life, but you run a tiller a little bit, and it's a game changer. It's next level.
It is, for sure.
Let's also talk about if somebody is looking for weekend projects coming up, because I don't think this weekend's going to be a washout. This weekend looks pretty good. What do you stock pretty good in the rental department? And what kind of equipment that somebody might not think you might have in rental that you got?
Well, we got a little bit of everything. We don't have just, you know, larger equipment. I'll take, for instance, today, it's all over the news. Some people's homes are flooding and stuff. All of our dehumidifiers and all of our big fan blowers are out on rent this morning. But we've got handheld tools, too. We got chainsaws. We got pole saws. You know, floor sanders, walk-behind tillers, generators, pumps, you know, just a little bit of everything, as well as, you know, the tractors, the skid steers, the mini excavators, all the different trailers and man lifts and scissor lifts and light towers. So there's a wide variety there. If it's something that you're looking for, especially, you know, the one-time deal, the project that you're wanting to tackle, definitely come by, see us, or give us a call. It could be something that we could have here in stock. You come by and get it and use it for a weekend, a week, a month, whatever the case may be for you. Or if you're in the market for something and not really sure if you want it, whether it be like a skid steer or a tractor, come by and rent it for a weekend. Get used to it and see if you're going to like it or not before you purchase it.
Tell them how to come find you.
We're right here at Parrish Tractor in the middle of Robertsdale on Highway 59. We're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturdays, 8 till noon. You can give us a call at 251-947-4171 and visit our website at parrishtractor.com.
Thank you, Blaine.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there he goes, Blaine over at Parrish Tractor. Continue our conversation with Congressman Jerry Carl. We got a couple minutes here before the break. But, yeah, so the question I was saying, how do you get this turned around if you have 85% of the ships on the sea, not flagged, but built in China, and we're going to put this tariff or cost on using a
it's
Chinese
It's basically
thing.
$1 million per stop. So on a content per ship. So if you've got a ship that comes into New York, it stops at New York, New Jersey, it stops at South Carolina, and it may stop at Miami. So that's $3 million
just for
right there.
Bringing a Chinese made, y'all. This
that's
is not right. Chinese flag, a Chinese made ship into
that's
that
correct.
Port.
That's correct. And all this technology is kept up with. It's easy to track, and they know it. So the way we're going to get out of this is going to require us to have a good working relationship with Japan and South Korea. They have the capabilities to help to bail us out of this. So you're going to have to, we as Americans are going to have to step up and pay them to build those ships. Now, do we flag them as American ships or do we label them as American ships? I don't know.
Would they be owned by federal government or would they be owned by a private company?
Those, my guess, are going to be owned by the federal government. So we should have a war fleet. We should have enough to carry during wartime to move us from point A to point B. China moved most of our stuff. Our Chinese ships moved most of our stuff today. It's amazing.
But they could be Chinese-made ships, but they could be run by some other company.
Sure,
That might not be Chinese.
The big thing, when Tommy and I were down in Panama, the big thing we saw down there, the ships were paying $1 million a year to have them flagged under Panama. They were all different countries in the world down there, but they flew a Panamanian flag, which puts them in a certain tax bracket.
Yeah, it's more lucrative. Yeah. Panama, Liberia, there's a few countries that are better to be flagged from.
So you know, we that's the stuff Tommy and I started leaning into. We can't allow this to keep happening because it is destroying our maritime industry. And we've got to prop up, we've got to get ourselves back on our feet, maritime community as a whole.
Okay, coming right back with former Congressman Jerry Carl. Your calls and text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Check in with my buddy David McCrary. I usually say he's with LCM Motor Cars. He's just not currently at LCM Motor Cars. Where are you, man?
I'm in Orlando right now. I flew down to Tampa this morning, drove up here. I'm going to tell you, that wasn't a fun flight going out with all that weather we had.
It's risky, man. Risky, but yeah, it's dedication.
I had somebody the other day call in, and they said, hey, when you and Sean do those and you're at the auction, is that something y'all record at the studio? I wish
no,
it was.
No.
Because it's 85 degrees down here and 1,000% humidity right now. I just got through raining.
Well, you do it because that's where you find some of the vehicles you bring back here to Mobile.
Well, there's a ton of dealers down here, so of course there's going to be more vehicles. And they're, you know, a lot of these dealers have been doing this for a long time. They've already got them clean and ready to go. They know what they're doing. So it's a whole lot easier to pick through a herd down here than it is to find stuff that you don't know what it is. I mean, these guys stand behind what they're selling, and it makes a big difference to me.
Okay. Well, this is makes a big difference to us when, you know, you get the vehicles we're looking for.
That lets us stand behind what we sell. You know, we know what we're buying, so we can stand behind it as well.
You trust them.
Makes a big difference. Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. That's the word. And we trust you. So if people are looking for vehicles on the lot now or what may come home with you from Florida, how they get in touch with you?
Well, we'll have a couple of truckloads be there this week from where I'm at now. So come see us. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068, or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. Everything we're buying today and tomorrow morning will be on the website tomorrow afternoon. Just won't have pictures yet, but you're welcome to call, and we can text you some pictures because we do have access to some.
All right. David, enjoy the heat, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, bud.
All right. There he is, David McCrary. He's in Orlando, but he's with LCM Motor Cars. Continue our conversation with Congressman Jerry Carl. Read this text from the Mariner. Said, there should be a case-by-case U.S. Well, he said, first of all, the shipyard problem has nothing to do with size. It has to do with workforce skills, technology, and ineptitude. There should be a case-by-case U.S. build requirement waiver for Jones Act ships. I remember I heard that in, I guess, Trump's first, and I don't know the Jones Act, but it's a waiver for Jones Act ships to enable companies to make short sea shipping viable and begin revitalizing American flag shipping. There's a difference between U.S. flag that can be foreign-built and American-built U.S. flag that is Jones Act compliant.
Obviously, that gentleman knows a lot more than we do.
Calls himself the Mariner.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Hooray for him. I'd love to deep dive into that. If you would sometime today send that text to me. Okay. I'd like to take it apart and try to figure out what he's talking about.
But
the labor force, and that's some of the stuff we met with up in New York also. I actually went to a dinner. There's three colleges up there, Mariner Institutes. We've got to focus on the labor itself, you know, the welders and the pipe fitters and actually building the ships, not to mention just staffing the ships.
Well, staffing the ships, I can tell you with my expert analysis and research, which involves me catching bait or ling or cobia around the ships that are at anchorage here, you know, as they wait to come into the port of Mobile, not a lot of U.S. crews.
Yeah, there's, well,
not a lot of English being spoken.
But that, yeah, there'll be a pilot that'll come out there and get it on and actually bring it in.
So, no, I understand that how it works. I mean, you know, don't hold it against me, but some of those guys are my buddies that bring those ships in. But the crew on those ships, you know, they're not speaking. Well, I mean, I talking back and forth. English is not a first language.
Yeah, so my dad did that his entire life, so... he lived on a ship.
Merchant mariner?
Going somewhere. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'd get a little upset. He'd just jump a ship and go around the world for a couple of years or something. Literally, he would stay on a ship. So,
but changed.
It's changed. Before he got out, he was talking about the changes that were made. I mean, they used to crew them all here in the Union Hall. I was a kid. I'd go to the Union Hall, and we'd see the ships they'd put up on what they call the board. You know, they'd need four of this and six of that and two of that, and they could crew a ship from here. Now, no. It's just not enough people to crew them from here, so they're picking them up in different ports.
I mean, this is the stuff I'm talking about. I agree with the outcome, Congressman. Like, the outcome I'm on board with, pun intended. But getting there, I work, like, the time to 85% or whatever of the these ships being made in China, could be flagged for whatever country, but made in China, it's going to take a long time. It's not like there's a fleet of ships that are American built that are waiting to be put into service and we can just swap out. So building them takes time, crewing them, training people who have not been in that business. How long does that take? You know, how long do you deal with this $1 million per visit?
Well, how about taking somebody like an Elon Musk that could actually bring a rocket back and land it?
Yeah.
Maybe we just need the right people in the right place to do it.
Well, there has to be but he was working on that rocket and continues to work on that rocket for a long time.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't just like on a Tuesday they said, we're not going to take any more whatever built rockets. And Elon goes, okay, next week I'll have your rocket.
Yeah. You know? Well, no, I agree with that. I'm just saying we got to start thinking out of the box. And we got to start recruiting more kids to get into the maritime industry and also working in the shipyards. Great jobs. You learn how to weld, you become an electrician or a 100%. Plumber, you got a job for life. You don't like where you're working, you can pack up, move cross country, and get a job the same day.
As long as you
pass the drug test, you can get a job. With skill sets that we're encouraging. We need more. We need to offer kids more of an incentive to get into it. We have to start earlier in high school, though. As county commissioner, I worked a lot with public school systems, and that's one thing I learned. You've got to start planting that seed in the 7th and 8th grade on these kids, and that sounds silly, but it's not. They've got to start seeing in 7th and 8th grade that there's a possibility that they could do that and what the horizon holds for them. And then by the time they get out of high school, if that seed's not growing, you can forget about it. They're going to go chase the first rabbit that comes in front of them. They're going to take off running. So we've got our education system's got to step up too.
Yeah. My anecdote from it is I've talked about over time for welders is I remember was in my maybe early 20s and we'd go duck hunt up in Arkansas with some guys and hunted public land and all that. And one old boy, he's always on the ducks. I'm like, I'm here for 3 days. I got to go back. I only, you know, get 10 days of vacation a year. He said, I'm here the whole time. I'm like, how do you do that? He said, well, I quit my job each year. I said, what do you do? He said, I weld. He said, I walk in. This has been back in 1990s. I'm sitting there slack-jawed. He said, I walk in and tell the boss I quit. And I hunt. And when duck season's over, I come back in, and they hire me right back. He said the same wage. I said, there's something to this, man. I was jealous of him back then.
So I'll offer you a trip, and I'll take you up to North Dakota. The guy that I hunt with quits his job. He's a CDL driver for a local company. He quits his job there. He goes to North Dakota, CDL license. He drives for all the farmers up there hauling grain.
Smart.
And when the season opens up, guess what? He gets to hunt.
Yeah.
He's probably got 18, 20,000 acres.
Well, he's got all the farmers in his hip pocket.
Yeah, they love it. And
then he can go back and use it.
Exactly.
See, that's the That's the
redneck in us.
I know. When that guy told me that first time, I sat there. I was 19, 20 years old. I said, "You do what?" He said, "Oh, I just walk in and quit."
Yeah.
I'm like, "How do you? I don't work in a business like that." He said, "Well," he said, "I do." He said, "I walk in and quit, and then they bring me right back on." So that's 1990s welders. Let's see. This from Michael said, "I think the problem with crewing is the seamen from overseas are cheaper than the seamen stateside." Sure.
I'm sure of that.
Yeah. It's, let's see. Earl saying, "What about insurance and retirement? Good money, but nothing for the future." I wonder if that's.
Yeah, I mean, I assume you're just talking about the Americans here.
I'm guessing, yeah.
Yeah, so the Americans, yeah, they'll have a retirement plan, they'll have insurance plans, and that drives the cost up. That's why it costs more to crew an American ship. I will know more in the near future. I'm working on some stuff, so.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you get.
All right. Let's see. Jimmy and Babynette said, "Sean, I work for an industry, and you say 1990s welders. Let me assure you, it hasn't changed very much." Well, good, Jimmy.
Well, there's a lot of robotics now. There are a lot of robotics on the welding side, too.
Well, I wonder. I need to look up that old boy. I don't know what he's doing now, but he was my hero back then, because I was like, "I got to go back to work." He's like,
My buddy's still doing it. I hunted birds with him this year.
He just takes off, does?
Yeah, and he'll hunt birds in the morning and drive in the afternoon.
Yeah, we need to meet this guy.
Yeah.
Need to do a profile on him. Let's see the... Okay, this one, I don't know. This unnamed texture had said, and I don't know if you have an opinion, regarding first responders, why under the Fair Labor Standard Act are we discriminated against? We work 84 hours every 2 weeks and do not receive overtime until we work 85 hours. I don't know. Is that something that was...
I'm not familiar with that. That certainly seems unfair. I don't know where that came from. I've never heard anything about that. Maybe you would encourage. I would encourage to make more of a noise. Is that a state issue or a federal issue?
And I'm ignorant to that. I don't.
Well, I think he needs to reach out to his local legislators and start figuring that out. Make a little noise. Squeaky wheel gets the grease in politics.
There you go. Coming right back, more with somebody who heard squeaky wheels all the time.
Yeah,
Congressman Jerry Curl.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Good to have our guest, Jerry Curl, in the studio. You know, last time we were in, we talked so much Doge, and that is actually, believe it or not, I guess getting overshadowed by the tariff talk that got moved off the top of the plate.
And what did I say then? I said, just watch it. It's a storm right now,
mm-hmm.
But the next thing it pops up, we're going to forget about Doge, and here we are.
Yeah, well, I still focus on it because I want it to continue to accomplish things.
I think we need to bring it to every state.
People will text about that. Alabama needs Doge.
I think every state does. I mean, we get complicit in what we want to do. We get just comfortable and we think it's just normal. That's human nature. So to have somebody come in behind you and plow that dirt and look at it, it's. I think we all need it. We need it in our own lives for that matter.
100%. Well,
you need that buddy that'll come in behind you and say, "You know what, Sean, you're wrong."
Yeah.
You know, and that's basically what Doge is doing.
Well, and maybe, households will have that with increase in prices out there. They're, they have to Doge themselves to be able to stay in their budget.
Sure.
But now, if I could print my own money and do quantitative easing, Lord knows, I'd get the new stuff.
Yeah, but you'd be $40 trillion in debt.
We are there. And I really do think that the big turnaround, I see what President Trump's doing on tariffs. I do. And bringing back American middle class. I have some questions, how we get there. But on the Doge part of it, if we can pay off, I know this is not as popular a talking point out there as maybe I think it is. But if we could take care of our debt, I think it wholesale changes our republic.
And that gives us such a huge, strong presence worldwide.
Can you imagine the money we pay just in interest right now if that was not there?
we pay as much on interest as we do the defense budget.
I mean,
should, think about that.
Can a republic exist like that?
And who holds most of that debt?
Well, I did look through it. So China holds a bunch.
Yep.
Japan actually now holds more.
Oh, I didn't know
yeah,
that.
So Japan moved up
All right.
in holding more. But then, yeah, China's a big player. And, you know, we the American people are responsible for a lot of that, you know, that it's been borrowed from our grandchildren. I mean, they're going to have to pay for it. Well, you imagine that. Imagine if credit card debt, grandma and grandpa, they took out the credit card and they got the RV, they spent all that time, and that debt was let to their grandchildren. No grandparent would do that. But in this case, through our irresponsibility, it is being done that way.
And just think what Trump's doing or what he's trying to attempt to do. It's never been done before. There's not a written playbook for this.
No.
So it's easy for us to judge him after the fact. We voted him in. We got to support him, good or bad. We got to take credit for it, good or bad. But you look back in the history, you know, this is about being American. And I said this on a program the other day. This is about being American. Forget about your pockets for a minute. Forget about all the monetary things you got. How about being American? How about being responsible to one another?
Can you know, we do that?
Yeah, we have to.
Well, I agree.
I mean,
we have
to. It may take a catastrophe of some type. You know, World War II. I'm old enough. The old folks, all of them are dead and gone now. But my dad was talking about Recycle Day. Well, they'd walk around and pick up rubber one Saturday, and they were using for wartime. They'd walk around and pick up tin or metal or whatever.
Yep.
All that was. They had a common focus, and that was to keep the country together.
And people, and that's what I wonder. Are we there anymore? Because I think it was last week or the week before, I thought about it. You know my late father,
yep.
and he remembered the rationing days and all that stuff, and we talked about it, and everybody pulled together and did it for the common cause of winning the war.
But
I wonder if we have the same people in our country now. Is that spirit gone?
No.
You don't think so?
I think that spirit has grown since Trump has taken over. I think the Democrats are looking at it going, my gosh, look, we do have a chance here. We do have, you don't expect the Democrats to walk up and drop in Trump's lap.
I wouldn't.
Yeah. You know, you need a yin and a yang, as I was told one time. You need two sides to everything. So, but let's focus on being American. Let's drop all these other things because the Chinese want us fighting one another
sure.
because of our political views. I love to sit down with a Democrat and talk about political views. I want to know why they think that way. I'm good with that.
I'm the same way.
You know, it's okay. But
I may disagree with you, but I want to know why
you listen to the media, if you listen to the national media, I'm not talking about local media, I'm talking about national media, you would think we're all going to war with one another. I don't believe that. I see it in Congress. I think there's a handful that try to create problems in Congress.
Sure.
But yesterday was the gentleman that helped me at Austin to get the submarine stuff here. It was his birthday yesterday, and I sent him a little note, you know, to my favorite congressman. He's a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And he and I think so much alike. But where he's at, he has to be a Democrat to be elected. But he cared enough about the maritime industry and the defense industry that he moved money around to make sure we got what we needed down here in Mobile. That's the type of things that Americans do.
Thinking about defense, and we just have a couple minutes left here. Lay of the land now, from when you and I talked about it so many times with Russia, Ukraine, and Israel and Gaza. You're feeling on the lay of the land now.
I think Trump has put us in a spot that we're pulling out without saying we're pulling out. I think he has put the rest of the world in a spot that they've got to get more active or come up with a settlement. And a truce of some type is what's needed in both of those conflicts, wars, whatever you want to call them. The Gaza situation, that goes back as far as time has been recorded. I don't think there's peace there. I think that's got to be totally cleaned up and wiped up and dealt with, period. Russia and Ukraine, I think that's something that can be worked out. Will it be worked out to the satisfaction of both sides? No, it will not.
Yeah, I wonder how much the drop in oil prices right now has a secondary effect on Russia in these negotiations, because Russia had the upper hand. I mean, some part of this is realpolitik, but some part of it is just negotiation and Russia having more leverage in that negotiation. But seeing that oil prices are dropping, does that lessen Putin's ability to finance the war? Maybe that brings, I'm trying to figure out where, because he's going to be like, yeah, sure, we want peace. Give me everything I want, you know?
Yeah, when, and historically, you can't trust Putin.
No.
At all, period.
But I do want to see peace.
Yeah, of course we do. Of course we do.
But what leverage? What leverage does Ukraine have?
Ukraine has pretty much used up everything that they can possibly get. I think they've burnt all the bridges behind them. So,
yeah,
it's not a good situation for Ukraine.
Okay. Do you feel like we're safer now than we were under Biden?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Houthis over there. I guess I pronounced that right.
Houthis. Yeah, whichever.
Yeah, look at them. They're hid under a pile of sand somewhere.
Yeah.
Because we're bombing them every night and letting them know we're still here. Biden would have never done that.
Well said. All right, Congressman Jerry Carl, good to see you.
Great to see you, sir.
Come back to see me soon.
I'd love to. Take care.
All right, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.